Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
And not really being thrilled about, you know, going and hearing Brother Hagin, because I love Brother Hagin, but it was just a little bit more subdued than what, you know, an 8-9-year-old, you want some stuff that's a little more zippy, you know? But isn't it cool how God used Kenneth Hagin to just sow the word. The school in Germany, the first year it was there, the Rhema school, it was in Heidelberg. And man, there was about 10 students, and half of them were scary. One of them, a lady cast the devil out of a dog, and the dog bit her on the head. It was just like crazy school stuff. Then, you know, over the years you go, and I'll go back this fall. I almost go about every year. And the school is huge, and then the graduates all come, and the guy will go, "Let's stand up and pray." You got 1,000 Germans standing up praying in tongues, just knowing the word, whereas 25 years ago, you know, they just didn't know it. But there's something about the word produces stability, yes. Produces strength, yes. It produces joy. And I've always said it this way, you know it. You can tell when you're in faith if you look at your joy gauge or your peace gauge. And you know, most people are strong in the Lord. They just don't know it. Or they have strong faith. I like what Brother Hagin always said. How many of you can give God glory for His promises?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. How many of you are fully persuaded that what He's promised He's able to perform?
Amen.
Come on. So you're strong in faith. And the Holy Spirit already saw what you'd look like. Think of Daniel prophesying. You'd know your God. You'd be strong. And you would do exploits.
Yeah.
So there's something about knowing God. Because it's one thing to know the Word. It's another thing to know the God of the Word. Because they'll know the Word of God, but not the one that's the backing of it. Because He's watching over it to perform it. So we can rest. What He did for us at Calvary, we can rest in that. And it all goes back to, I don't have to labor. I don't have to boast. I can just go, you know what? I'm a new creature. I accepted it into my heart. I can't help it if He quickened me, raised me, and seated me. You know what I mean? But I'm going to enjoy it. I can't help it that I'm seated at the right hand. Think if you're seated at the right hand of God, and so the Lord can elbow you just like that and go, "Yes, sir, what do you need?" We should be more heavenly conscious. Used to the days when I went to Bible school, they were like, "Man, these guys are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good." I really never met anybody that was so heavenly minded, they were no earthly good. Have you met anybody like that? No, I haven't. Oh, so he wants to strengthen you. He wants to bless you, wants to encourage you. He wants you to walk in the full measure of everything He left you 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
So you think of all those things. I think of my mother, and I think of Mark 11, 23 and 24, and how God can use a couple of verses to get it to where you can basically take care of everything. Think of obstacles. I mean, you can speak to one the size of a mountain, and it would be removed. Wow, that's the Lord could have used a little bit smaller things, but He didn't. He spoke to a fig tree, then He started speaking to mountains, just things that, okay, the tree is a certain size, but then let's go a little further, the mountain's a certain size. And I say it like this, I got this came to me, I mean, about one time I was here about 10 years ago, and I was praying in Broken Arrow about this, and then I came to be with you guys, and the Lord said, notice you can use your faith for figs, for desserts, you can use it for obstacles, mountains, and then you can use it for desires, okay? So your dessert and your desires, 2/3 of your faith were to make you happy. Desserts and desires. 1/3 of your faith was to move mountains. That's Bible. I mean, that's so how does that come to you? Hearing Brother Hagin 1,000 times preach on Mark 11, 23, 24, he shows you that you can use your faith for... So 2/3 of your faith were just to make you happy. Dessert and desires. I mean, that's something. So He wants you filled with joy.
Come on now.
Yes.
And we'll look at that a little bit more today. But we're going to look at some types of Calvaries. Some of the types of Calvaries we can look at, and they all do the same thing. But there's a full measure of what gets redemption, and it's complete. It's not partial. I mean, his mind, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. He was tormented mentally, and what represented that was the crown of thorns.
Yeah.
And then He went to the whipping post. He paid for your flesh even before He paid for your spirit.
Yeah.
By His stripes you were healed.
Yeah.
And then he hadn't even gone into the heart of the earth yet to claim all the claims of justice to be fulfilled. So then after that he went into hell, and basically, man, you talk about disarming Lucifer. He defeated him, and then Colossians says he disarmed. We went and disarmed Iran so they couldn't hurt Israel. We bombed them. Jesus disarmed Satan so that the handwritings and the ordinances that were contrary to us, he blotted them out. So you have no law against you. I mean, you're just, it's just like, this is too good to be true. So that produces liberty. Why I say that is that's not just a those are not just words. It produces liberty. That liberty produces joy. I mean, you can't, in the natural, make this stuff make you happy, because it's just life everlasting. And then you saw pictures of it. We talked about it the other day. You saw the pictures of it of when he went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. That nature began to come out of his skin. His skin couldn't contain it. I mean, you need to dwell on that as you get it. We get into healing. So, I mean, think about the radicalness of that kingdom. He said, some of you won't taste death until you see the kingdom come. He takes Peter, James, and John up there, and all of a sudden, he begins to be glorified and radiates. Now, this is what's real. This is the deal. This is how he is all the time. We just don't see it. So it begins to come out of his skin, come out of his hair. I mean, to where his hair turns white. His hair is white as wool. Well, then you see, look at different ones that saw him. Ezekiel said he was a fire from the loins up and a fire from the loins down. Yes. As he is, so are we in this world. Yes. As he is, so are we in this world. That's what you look like. When Lucifer looks at you, he sees this radiation on you. He doesn't see your whatever shirt you're wearing or you know, he sees that he's in that realm. Okay, and it would behoove us to even think sometimes why would he have the advantage over us when he sees reality?
That's right.
Habakkuk saw him, said he had shafts of light coming out of his side. Yeah. There was the hiding place of his power. And in Basra, in Isaiah, I believe it was 60 something, Isaiah goes, "Who is this that comes from Basra with garments stained in Edom, radiant in apparel, glorious in strength?" So this is what he looks like. That's what you look like.
Yes.
So you're a carrier of this. So today I'm going to go through some types that show us what happened when you see the types that happened and how they were blessed. And then we'll go over into a thought pattern of dominion after the resurrection. Because we'll start with the Old Covenant a little bit, and we'll go from Genesis to Revelation. Woo, hallelujah.
Love it.
So pizza will be here at 3, and we'll break for pizza, then we'll come back, and we can do it. All right. Grab your Bibles and turn to Numbers 21, and we'll pray. And I'll give you a couple stories. I think of my mom's stories. They're just absolutely radical. I think I told you the one went Sunday night about the life jackets, how she put all the life jackets on me. Well, after she got a hold of the Word, and I told you what happened, how she just got so bold, don't bleed here, you know, we got prayer meeting tonight. I had a wreck on my motorcycle, and I was coming through this turn. I'd built this track on my dad's land, and there were some areas where we had some pine straw, some areas where we had dirt. So I'd like to drift in those areas with the dirt, but sometimes if you just got a little bit off of it, you'd hit that pine straw. Well, I hit that pine straw and flipped my bike up like that, hit my right knee on a root or a tree. And I felt it when I hit it. My leg goes, ping, shoots back like that. And I'm like, this is not good. And my leg was like burning because I slid, you know. So I go running back to the house. I mean, my knee hurts like crazy. Mom, my knee hurts. I had a wreck. She goes, you're healed in Jesus' name. Shut up. This is 1970, the first year that she's gotten hold of the Word. And she's like, you're healed. I said, oh, okay, Mom, I believe it. I am. And she goes, you want to go see your dad? You know, take you to the doctor? I said, no, I'm okay. And so we went to a fish fry that night, you know, and I was trying to explain how bad I was hurting. And so my knee swelled up so big during that fish fry, I went to go back to the car. I almost couldn't walk. They had to cut, back then we had bell-bottom pants, you know, they were big like that. I had to cut my pants off because I couldn't get my pants off of my knee. My knee had swollen up like a basketball. Not a volleyball, not a soccer ball. I'm talking a basketball. And my mom goes, wow. But I'm not moved. So the next day, my dad takes me to this orthopedic surgeon. He looks at my knee, kind of does all the stuff. He goes, yep, we're going to have to go in. When it drains, when it gets, you know, when the swelling goes down, we'll have to repair your cartilage. And he kind of talked about what he was going to do. Well, that night, I went to bed. You know, Mom said, you're healed. And my knee completely went down. And so my dad took me back to the orthopedic guy, and the orthopedic guy goes, "Why did you drain his knee?" And my dad goes, "I didn't drain his knee. His crazy mother prayed for him." And the doctor goes, "There's no way your knee will go like that on its own." And I've never had another problem at all. I mean, so that's within a year of my mom getting hold of the word. You know, and the other one about me cutting my face, before that she would have passed out. Now she's like steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So you're coming on Wednesday morning, you're coming to healing class. Guess what the word will do for you? Make you steadfast. Steadfast. Yes. Not moved by anything. Nothing moves you. Amen. Nothing moves you. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. So that's the thought pattern he's looking for. And I can tell you many stories about my mom. I remember she had a bookstore, and then she started a church in the back of the bookstore. And I can remember her picking guys up, throwing them against the wall, casting the devil out of them. And the next thing you know, that person's in the station wagon on the way to Tulsa to go to camp meeting. And I'm like, "Mom, this guy's a drug dealer." And she goes, "He'll be all right." And so our station wagon turned into like a critical care unit for crazy people, you know. And we'd haul them up to camp meeting, and they'd hear the word morning, noon, and night. And guess what? After about a week of hearing the word morning, noon, and night, all of a sudden they're champions of faith. So within a year of my mom getting a hold of the word, she's transformed. So I'm saying that you don't have to wait 5 years. In Luke 9 and Luke 10, when Jesus authorized them, how long did it take to function like Jesus? Instantaneous. We have a tendency to think, "I'll work my way into this." No, you're born into this. Yeah. So let's look at a story or a copy, not a copy, but a picture. And I thought I had this ready, a picture of redemption. And it'll strengthen you, man. It'll bless you. And I know you know the story. It's so good. But go to Numbers 21. I meant to tell you where to go. It's page 195 if you've got a Bible like mine. He says here in verse 4, and you know the story here. Verse 4, Numbers 21, verse 4, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. So their minds are like freaking out, going, "This is not necessarily easy." And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? And there's no bread, and neither is there any water, and my soul loathes this light bread." And that's the first record of diet food right there. So the Lord even made their food where they wouldn't be bogged down. Praise the Lord for diet food. Praise God. So then they their soul loathes this. That's a bizarre word, but basically it irritated them that they're drinking, eating diet bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Now you need to look at this. In the Hebrew, he didn't send them, he allowed them. He'd already been protecting them from them the whole journey. He let that guard down because he got tired of them complaining. You can look all through all the Bible, and the only time the Lord really backs away from protection for everybody is because I've heard enough. In Romans 11, God went to cast Israel aside and came to us because of unbelief and because of just irritability. In other words, they complained so much. Then he said, "Put up your body as a living sacrifice." What happens to someone that dies? They don't complain about their coffin. I mean, so a nation can miss their destiny because of complaining. That's why Paul said in Romans, give up your body as a living sacrifice. Because everybody, they'll say, "Well, you need to renew your mind to the Word." That verse there is not renewing your mind to the Word. It's renewing your mind to the things that are on your life so you stop complaining. Amen. Come on. See, yeah. Israel forgot their destiny. So if you remember your destiny, you won't complain. I mean, so I'm out there when I went to Rhema, and I've told you the story, but went to Rhema, and I traveled a couple summers with Mark Brzee. I go to Rhema. How many of you thought that you were born just to do yard work for your mother? I pretty much thought that. I this is what you're born for, so I thought, I can't get out of this. So I hated, you know, flower beds, hated yard work, because my mom wanted the yard perfect, wanted the flower beds perfect. Well, of course. So after I get to Rhema and I started helping Mark and Janet, they were over in South Africa somewhere, and I thought, well, I've got to go check on their house because they're gone for a couple months. They'd forwarded their phone through to my phone. I'll tell you a story about that here in a second. You guys are so easy to preach to. It takes me a while. So I ended up going over and checking on their house, and the grass is this high. I thought, oh, my God, what seed did I sow to reap this? I know what I got to do now. I got to mow that grass, and I got to cut the grass off the sidewalk and make the edge, you know. So I wanted it perfect for them because the grass had grown all completely over the sidewalk. So when they came home, they said, man, this looks so good. Why don't we do some flower beds? Oh, yeah. Let's do some flower beds. So the very thing that I hate and I loathe is what the Lord had me do for like 4 or 5 years. What did it do? Get me to shut up. When Paul talks about putting your flesh under, he's not talking about people committing adultery. He's not talking about people smoking cigarettes. He's talking about put your flesh under so you don't complain. Because we automatically think the weird things of the flesh. You know, well, that person eating Red Man or chewing Red Man or, you know, whatever it might be. So I Pastor Mark and Janet had just started traveling then, so they forwarded their phone to me at my apartment. So I kept getting these phone calls. Is Ichabod there? Is Ichabod there? I said, listen, no, there's no Ichabod here. And so, you know, a couple hours later, I want to talk to Ichabod. There's no Ichabod here. You know, 2 or 3 days after that, I want to talk to Ichabod. I finally said, listen, old man, there's no Ichabod here. Quit calling this number. Mark and Janet came back from their trip, and they said, how's it going? I said, oh, everything's good. I said, but you're getting a lot of calls from somebody asking for Ichabod. And so I finally just told them off. I said, listen, you know, quit calling. And Mark goes, oh, that's Brother Hagin. I was chewing out Brother Hagin on the phone. Yeah, thank you. And that's, I'm a Rhema student. So I'm thinking the ground's going to open up. I'm swallowing. It's going to swallow. Worms come out of your eyes and the whole deal. Yeah, so bizarre. And Brother Hagin, so everybody, you know about him, he's ornery. So right after that, maybe a month or two, I went over to his house with Mark and Janet, and he told stories about younger ministers not having respect for older ministers just to mess with me. And I was like, that. And he's kind of smiling like, I'm like, yeah. Oh, well. Okay, so I told you I'd tell you a little bit more about my mom, but we'll see if we'll get into that in a little bit. So there's something about it changing you. I mean, within a year, my mom was this, you know, believe the horns off a billy goat face. You know, went from being, I don't know if I can honor, you know, believe the word, to why he's watching over his word to perform it. We have dominion mentality. Wow, Mom. Well, she made me confess the word every single night before I went to bed, and I made my daughter confess the word every single night. And you know what? She's doing exactly what she said, and I'm doing exactly what I said. So we mix faith with redemption, and you get the results of that. You know what happens? You get liberty. You get freedom. That liberty and freedom produces joy and produces boldness. Yeah. And you can tell when you've been around people that have been in the Word, been praying. Because, you know, people walk up to me, I'm a real prayer. I go, no, you're not. You'd be happy if you prayed. That always goes over really good, but it's the truth. You can be around somebody for a few minutes and find out what they're feeding on. Because what you're feeding on will come out. And, oh, man, there's something about how privileged we are to have Paul's letters to show us what happened when Jesus was raised from the dead. Even Peter was like, man, Paul's preaching stuff. It's just hard to understand. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. What are you talking about? I mean, it's just better than we can figure out how good it is. And that's what we want. We want insight today and light. So skip down to verse 8, so and where he was in verse 6. Let's go. The Lord sent fiery servants among the people. He allowed them. They bit the people in verse 6, and much of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he would take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Wow. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent set upon a pole. It shall come to pass, watch this, that everyone, you ought to underline everyone, that everyone that is bitten, when he looked upon it, he shall live. Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld or looked at the serpent of brass, he lived. This is a flawless type of Calvary. I mean, every ambulance you see the serpent on a pole. And so redemption's pictured right here. What happens in redemption? Number one, they got forgiven for what they said wrong. They were talked bad about God, about Moses. They got healed, and they got delivered. If they hadn't gotten delivered, the snakes would have bit them again, and they needed to get healed again. So they got healed, they got forgiven, they got delivered, and they got so physical healing happened. Watch, when they looked at a type of Calvary, poison is driven out of their body.
Come on now.
Okay? So something physically happened to them when they just looked. Now, that's a type of Calvary. We would say, in our vernacular, that's a photograph of Calvary. That would be the equivalent of me looking at a picture of Tiger Woods, and Pastor and I try to play golf, and I say the word try because it's really not that. He plays really good, but I'm just whacking the ball around. I missed the ball the other day so much it hurt my back. I swung so it was terrible. But if I had a picture of Tiger Woods right here and I looked at a photograph of Tiger Woods, then all of a sudden I instantly start swinging like Tiger Woods. Something physically happened in my body to make me have the liberty and the freedom of Tiger Woods. So I can look at a photograph of him and all of a sudden I can act like him. They saw a photograph of Christ and it made them act like they were already in a new covenant. Get that to you. That Jesus hadn't been to the cross yet and they got to have the benefits of the cross. 2,000 years before it happened.
Come on.
So it exceeds and goes beyond time.
Yes.
So physical poison driven out of their bodies. Notice that when they looked upon it. Did it say they stood on the Word? Did it say they heard the Word enough to build their faith up? No. They looked at a photograph of Calvary and it was so permeating that they didn't have to know about faith.
Come on.
Do you hear a faith class in here? So they're going to get enough Word in you so you can stand on the Word. And we think that way when it comes to healing, but when it comes to salvation, you could have just killed people, you could have murdered people, you could have done all kinds of stuff, but you can come into a service and ask Jesus into your heart, man, you're there. But when it comes to healing, we want everybody to jump through hoops and go through Old Testament law.
Nope.
You're not under the law. Because
right.
Everybody, when it comes to physical healing, well, you got to do this and this and this and this and this. Give me scripture and verse. Jesus said, what's easier to say, your sins be forgiven, or rise, take up your bed and walk. Same thing. What you're taught in, you'll be bold about.
Yeah.
Hang with me. Just run with me just a little bit. Run with me to Des Moines, Iowa. I've told the story before. There was a church service up there. I was praying for some people. A lady had been in a horrible car wreck, and she was addicted to Oxycontin. She was just in horrible pain. And so at the end of the service, I prayed for her back. And, man, you could feel the tangible anointing come on her, and which, you know, we're not moved by feelings, but if it feels good, it's okay. And then she goes, I got relief. I got relief from my back. I had her move around, do some stuff. You know, she goes, wow, I haven't been able to do that because it hurt too bad. So she's healed. I mean, physically healed. She left that night, came back the next day. She came walking up to me. She goes, you know, my back started hurting when I got home last night. I said, well, I guess you're going to hell, aren't you? She goes, what? I said, you're going to hell. She goes, no, I'm not going to hell. I said, look how good you're taught in your salvation, but not your healing. You had a feeling in your back and you said, I'm not healed. And I said, you're going to hell. And you bowed up on me like you're going to hit me. I mean, she bowed up. I'm not going to hell. Why? You're taught so well about not going to hell. You're taught so well that if you just ask Him into your heart, you're saved. If you were taught so well about healing, we'd go, you know what? I have to ask the Lord in my heart and I'm healed.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm. We want to add all this labor to it. So, because we feel better if we earned it. Same thing with righteousness. I feel better. We're talking about the 10 virgins. You know, everybody, I preach on the 10 virgins. If you don't have oil in your lamp, you're not going up. If your wick's not ready. And he's talking to Jewish boys about the second coming there.
Yeah.
Not talking to the church.
Yeah.
I don't need oil in my lamp. I got the maker of the oil in me. Would Jesus need oil in his lamp? You're him. After you got to look at all the things after the resurrection.
After
you're him.
Yep.
You're him. Now, my friends call me the hangnailed body of Christ, but I'm still in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Woo, glory to God. Amen. All right, I'll give you one, how radical he is. I was preaching in Topeka, Kansas, like 1987 or 88. I can't remember the exact year. In Church of the Nazarene. The youth group was talking while I was preaching. And you know, me back then as a kid, I was like, oh, if you're going to talk, I'm going to come get you. So I went back there like that. And I began to preach back where they were. And they still kept talking when I came out there to them. And I thought, well, that didn't help. So then I said, okay, everybody under 21, stand up. So they all stood up, you know, and I began to preach to them about the Bible says the young people would get it before we would. So I kind of was trying to say, you kind of need to be paying attention. And as I got there and said all that, they were still talking. While I had them stand up and while I was back there. So in other words, in the flesh, I couldn't get them. I had a word of knowledge. I said, there's someone here, you got damage in your knuckles. I thought, arthritis? You know, I didn't know what it was. The Lord just said, your knuckles. This lady came down with one finger like this, and these fingers were cut off at the knuckle. And I said, Lord, that's not what I was thinking. So You know, you always go back to the Word. I said, but I have a name that's been given unto me. At that point, I'm not thinking about how long I went to Bible school. I'm not thinking about how much I pray today. I'm thinking about a name. I can put this name on this and it'll fix it. We have a tendency to personalize it like, did I pray enough this morning? No, it's not about you. It's about Him.
Amen.
Amen. So I said, I have a name that His name means miracle.
Yes.
It means wonderful, counselor, mighty God, divine intervention in the ordinary course of nature.
Yes.
A suspension of the accustomed order. I have that name. So I said, I command your fingers to be whole. And I'm thinking, you know, she'll recover. Boom, her fingers popped out right there. Well, the youth group, when they saw what happened, they got supernaturally quiet. You didn't have to tell them. You didn't have to tell them to be quiet after they saw that lady get her fingers. They know that lady. Amen. See, he's more than enough. Now, our generation hasn't seen some of the things that happened in the 50s. But my friend, what happened in the 50s should be happening right now. Just radical miracles. Yeah. Raymond T. Ritchie in Tulsa, Oklahoma, someone that we don't even know, he had so many miracles in Tulsa, they had to take away the wheelchairs in flatbed trucks.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a meeting where they had to load trucks up with wheelchairs?
Come on.
I'm telling you, that platform is what built this thought pattern here that we're finding out the reality of what happened when Jesus was raised from the dead. So a type of Calvary, physical impartation into their bodies. They got forgiven, they got healed, they got delivered. Just like redemption, Galatians 3. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. Poverty, sickness, and spiritual death.
Yep.
All right, let's go over to the New Testament. There's so much here that we could get into. Man, it's just amazing. So go to Luke 13 or 14 or 15, and we'll see which one jumps out at us. Man, these are all stories that you know, but they're just good. And I do like what John Osteen said. You can tell when you've gotten a hold of a verse when you want to hear it over and over again.
Yeah.
If you're bored with a verse, that means you ain't got it. Because his words are spirit in their life. So go to Luke 13, page 96, if you got a Bible like mine. In verse 10, this is a cool thing. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. So anytime you got the Lord teaching the Word, you can have anything happen. Because he's watching over that Word to perform it. So he says here, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, "Woman, you are loose from your infirmity." Now, what I like about this is a classic faith class we'll look at right here, is here, he looks at her, she's bowed over, and he goes, hey, come here. And he says to her, hey, you are loose from your infirmity. If we stop looking right there, she's not loose yet, is she? She's still bowed over. She's not physically loose. So watch what happens in the next verse. He goes, all right. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. So what gave Jesus the right to say, you are loose? When he said that, she wasn't loosed. Well, legally, being a daughter of Abraham, we'll get to it here in a minute, he had the legal right to say the end from the beginning. Just like you say, I am healed, when you don't feel like you're healed. You are healed, period, whether you like it or not. Just like I am saved, whether I like it or not. So let's keep going. So in verse 13, he laid his hands on her. Immediately she was made straight and glorified God. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. Well, how bright is this guy? And he said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. He called this woman getting healed work. 6 days in which men ought to come and work, and there in them therefore come and be healed, not on the Sabbath day. How crazy is that? And the Lord answered, you hypocrite. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Jesus compared physical healing for her to basic refreshment. He didn't say, I'm going to elaborately give you all this stuff. Basic refreshment. You can get water in prison. So he said, you're smart enough to let your animal loose even on the Sabbath to refresh him. Your animal can make it more than a day without water. But he said, you have enough brains that you want to refresh them. So what's wrong with me refreshing my creation? That's what he compared it to. So then he goes on and gives you a little more insight to why he can be bold. There's a reason he can be bold here. Is verse 14. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? So here, he fixed it right there, man. He took care of all of it for eternity. Yeah. Ought not this woman whom Satan hath bound, being a daughter of Abraham. So the family she belongs to gave her specific rights. Yeah. And one of the rights was she ought to be able to get up and come to me. She's bowed over. Now, I don't know how he bowed over you got to get, but he called her to him. And I'm sure she was kind of figuring out how to get to him like that. He said, hey, come here. He's trying to get her to act. And he says, hey, you're loose from your infirmity. Why could he say you're loose from your infirmity? He'd been teaching, and he was probably teaching about the people that were under the law, the people that weren't under the law, and the people that knew what was in the law, they could get healed under old covenant rules. Because this is not new covenant right here. These are old. I'm going to give you old covenant scriptures here. Don't get mad at me. Mark 11, 23 or 24 are old covenant. Brother Hagin even taught us, say the Lord's Prayer. He goes, this is an Old Testament prayer, and it freaks people out. It's in the Gospels, but it's still before he was raised from the dead. Yep. Yep. So we've used an Old Testament prayer as our number one prayer of faith. Mm-hmm. And we should be living on the other side of it. We'll get there in a few minutes. Oh, man, I'm getting ahead of myself. So ought not this woman? She ought to be healed. He compared it to you're letting your animal go, let them down to get some water on the Sabbath day. And then he says, I want to refresh them. And then he goes, and by the way, she ought to be healed because of the family she belongs to. Even if you're too lazy to let your animal down to get refreshed, the family she belongs to, it's all there for her. Family rights. Yeah. I mean, you just had Wimbledon this last week. You look at that box of royalty, and you see them walk up in there. Wouldn't it be weird if some of the kids were walking up there, and their clothes were all tore up, and they're all dirty? And kind of, Wimbledon, No, there's a protocol of walking in that thing because of being royalty. As they walk into that deal, that people stand up because of their royalty, then they go up to a certain kind of seat. That's you. You're seated with him in heavenly places. Yeah. That's because of your family. I guarantee you could talk to any one of the kids and they go, you know, I don't ever feel like I've ever earned any of this. I was born into it.
That's right.
Because of who your parents are. Because of who your parents are, amen, you can swing a bat. Now, I say that because the bolder you get that in you, the more it's ridiculous to not have health. The bolder you get that in you, it gets ridiculous. It gets, it's inappropriate. Amen. Inappropriate to have symptoms. It would be almost rude. Like, no, I'm not taking what he gave me 2,000 years ago. That's why we take communion. So you remind yourself, he gave his body and gave his blood. Yeah. And he said, you know, when you don't remind yourself about that, you get weak and you get sickly, and many people die if you don't discern the Lord's body. Discern means to see. Yeah. Here in Numbers 21, he saw a type of Calvary. Discerning the Lord's body, I'm seeing what happened to him. We've probably all seen the Passion, right? Yeah. You know, I remember coming out of, I was up in China in 2004, up in the middle of China, took a slow boat to the middle of China. Crazy, I still can't believe we were there. As I pulled up to the hotel, the guy goes, well, they killed a guy at the last hotel that they put a preacher up. They killed him. And I said, well, thanks for telling me that after you checked me in. Wow. So the next morning, I'm a little bit nervous because I don't know what all is going on. They killed somebody last week. There was like 2,000, 3,000 people lined up in a big concrete building. I thought they were there for a food drive or something. I didn't know what it was. And I said, what's going on over there? I said, well, they're going to see a movie called The Passion of the Christ. So here, they're killing preachers and killing people at the hotel, but they can't stop a movie going all over. Wow. What was The Passion of Christ mostly about? You saw what he went through, so you don't have to go through it. Yeah. The thing that was so amazing is a visual of our Savior getting just beaten and beaten, and like, how dare me not take advantage of what he left me when he did that for me?
Right.
I mean, that's inappropriate. Amen. So when we go back to this, there's so many things we could glean from. So let's go. I keep bouncing around everywhere, so just hang with me. I'll get back to my train here. Okay, he said, whom Satan hath bound. I've never seen so much stuff in the last 5-10 years about word people, quote word people, that say that God let them have sickness to teach them something.
Come on now.
And that's insane. And everybody goes, well, no, he knows when to take you through the fire. You get enough fire on you, it'll show you don't want that fire on you. And you know, Lauren, my daughter, and I, one time on the way to school was I tempted to go, you know what? I'm going to break your leg so you can learn more today, Lauren.
Come on.
That's insane.
Yeah, it is insane.
To think that our Father would teach us through sickness and disease. Yeah. I know a church, a huge church, and it's not too many states from here. The guy teaches God's going to mentor you through torment. It's the same word. I said, he's not going to mentor you through torment.
Nope.
That means you're nuts. It gets really quiet when you say this. Because people go, well, the Lord put this on me so I'd get to the hospital and I could be a better witness there.
Nope.
No, the devil's trying to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yeah,
Jesus said, I came that you might have life. See, there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning in him.
Yep.
That means you won't see, he doesn't vacillate. He's not moody. Thank God our dad's not bipolar. Wouldn't it be weird you go into the throne of God? Uh-oh, it's a bad day. Don't watch it. There's fire coming out of him. Woo! I mean, think about him physically taking your place. Wow. Man, I remember sometimes prophecy is a little different than what we think. So I remember one time I prophesied in a meeting, like, I don't know what year it was, maybe 2000. I said, you'll see Diane Sawyer preach on a Friday night on ABC. She'll preach the gospel on a Friday night. And I remember prophesying, like, well, what in the world is that going to be, you know? Because Diane Sawyer was that news lady on ABC. Well, about 4 years to 5 years later, I got a phone call from somebody. Said, turn your TV on right now. I said, well, what's the deal? He goes, remember you prophesied that Diane Sawyer would preach the gospel on a Friday night? I was home on a Friday night in Tulsa. I turned my TV on to ABC. There's Diane Sawyer. She was interviewing Mel Gibson. She said, so you're telling me that Jesus paid the penalty for Adam's sin? So I thought she's going to do it like Shambach. My God, he's the same. You know, we interpret that prophecy of being like, that's how she's going to preach.
Right.
She preached the gospel. It's just in a different way than we thought it'd be.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sometimes when it comes to redemption, we want things to be dun, 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 dun. We want it to be pomp and circumstance.
Yeah.
When here, all he told them to do in Numbers was just look at it. And here Jesus is saying, just check out the family she's in.
Yeah.
Check out the family. She's got some rights.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, this is amazing because we're going to go to another story, a couple other stories here, and we'll look at them, how they differ. But here's a lady that has covenant rights and is not really using them. She's sitting there teaching, and she's the daughter of Abraham. Jesus says she ought to be healed. I think it bothered him that she was there listening to him and was bowed over. Because when you're listening to Jesus, you shouldn't be bowed over. It's inappropriate to not be taking advantage of how holy you are.
Yeah.
I'm going to come to you. There we go. Amen. Woo! It's the truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
We are free.
Yeah.
We are free. You say, your body's acting up like this. My body, that's a lie. That's not reality. The reality is I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Reality is I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I'm going to enforce that. Jonah was in the belly of a whale and said it's a lying vanity. Could you imagine physically being in the stomach of a whale and going, this is not like this? Where'd that come from? Paul said, we having the same spirit of faith, we believe and we say, and look up the margin where it takes you to. It takes you to a verse in Psalms where Jesus is in the heart of the earth in hell and demons are stinging him.
Wow.
Read it. They're stinging him. You know what Jesus said? He said, I'll dwell in the land of the living forever. All of a sudden in Hebrews, wow. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Woo, you've hated iniquity and loved righteousness. Man, all of a sudden the claims of justice were fulfilled. And he had what he said. He called, being in the heart of the earth, I'll dwell in the land of the living forever. Bam, raised from the dead. You talk about dwelling in the land of the living forever. Woo, wow. We'll see that throne right there at the Mount of Olives. We'll go, look at our King. I mean, the radiation will come out from there. Like that Richard Sigmund guy that had that wreck we talked about the other day, he's in heaven. He was dead for like 4 days, right? I mean, he came alive in the morgue. How'd you like to be working in the morgue that day? And yeah, this guy's alive. I don't think you can run fast enough. But anyway, he's in heaven, and he said, oh, wow, sunrise. The sun's coming up. Never even thought about the sun coming up in heaven, and it was Jesus coming up over the field. This is what our future is like. This is who watches over his word to perform it. This is who told this woman, the family you're in makes you be healed physically. Okay, so that takes away boasting. So I just get to relax. He paid for it, I'll enjoy it. He paid for it, I'll enjoy it. Yeah, I got some family. I grew up in Louisiana, which is scary how families there are fighting over a little piece of land. I'll never forget it. 40-something years fighting over this piece of land. In other words, it's a little inheritance these people left, these people, and they're going to war like the Hatfield and McCoys. They won't even talk to each other. How big a deal is it? A little strip of land. And they're like going to bat. You go into McDonald's, they're in there going, breathing like that. That's my land. Look how they're fighting for a little bit of inheritance. We should be so bold about what was left us.
Come on.
I mean, my sister called me and told me about it. I'm like, are you serious that they could get that freaked out over that kind of inheritance? When it's nothing in comparison to what we have in Christ, we should be so bold that even the hint of sickness and disease, No. No. Take authority. I will not allow this. Okay, let's go look at some more. Go to Matthew. You still with me for a little bit? Matthew 15. Sure appreciate you coming today. How many glad you came? Okay, look at Matthew 15. We're going to compare these stories, and then we'll get into the New Testament part of it, and then I'll sing something off my greatest hits album. Here we go. Verse 21, you know the story. Then Jesus, Matthew 15, verse 21, and Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, Lord. Now see, she doesn't have a covenant, so she's crying out for mercy. She doesn't have rights and privileges, so she's going to have to bypass that because she's not a covenant woman. She's a Syrophoenician woman. So this woman that's the daughter of Abraham, it just belongs to her. This woman doesn't belong to her yet because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross. So watch how she bypasses that. So here, behold, there was a woman of Canaan that came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. Wow. Here, she knew there was enough power in the covenant of David's covenant to get someone healed. Remember blind Bartimaeus? He started, Lord, Lord. You know, and Jesus goes, what do you want me to do? He goes, I'm blind. I mean, the Lord knew what he wanted. Knew what he wanted, but he wanted to see if he knew what was on that. So being the son of David, there was enough power in that covenant to get a person physically healed, for that guy to get his sight back. Wow. So let's go here. So she's calling on his covenant name. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil, but he answered her not a word. So here she's, number one, not qualified to talk to him. And then the next thing, you know, he ignores her. She says this, and he doesn't answer her. You go, well, those preachers are mean. I'm telling you, look here, he answered not a word. I knew it. The disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she's crying after us. So he ignores her, and then they say, get away. So it's kind of strike two or three for this lady, but she's not moved. Watch this. In verse 23, but he answered her not a word. The disciples came to him, besought him, saying, send her away, for she's loud. And he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So first he ignores her, then they said, you're too loud, and then he goes, I'm not sent to you. I mean, that's strike three right there. Most people are going, well, yeah, I knew it. I'm a Syrophoenician woman. I don't have a covenant. It doesn't even faze her. Watch what happens here. She's not fazed. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Notice how concerned he was that the children got what they were supposed to get before anybody else.
Right.
And it's not right that you get it before they do. That's how interested he is in you getting it. Because he paid for it for you. And then he called her a dog. I've never been in a prayer line, the brothers going, in the name of Jesus be healed. And you're a dog. I mean, that'd just be weird. It's not right to take the children's bread. So she called healing the children's bread. In Luke, it's water. Here, it's bread. Bread and water. It's what you can get in prison. You can be in the lowest place of the earth, and here you can get whatever you need. Simplistic. So then he goes, she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Wow. In other words, I don't need a full loaf of bread. The fragments will take care of my daughter. The fragments. Come on, the stuff that falls off the edge of the table is enough to heal my daughter.
Yes.
How much more him giving you everything? See, that produces an expansion in your spirit to go, I demand this right now.
Yes.
So here, look at this. You want to focus on these two stories here in a minute. But in verse 28, Jesus answered and said to him, O woman, great is your faith. So here, her thought pattern about accessing something that she doesn't have the qualifications to access gets laid down right there. Look at this. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Jesus called that great faith. She doesn't even have a covenant, but yet she bypasses that with her boldness. He goes, woman, I'm supposed to give, this is for the children. And he goes, well, I guess the dogs can eat a little bit that's fallen from the master's table. Boy, that lets you know, everybody goes, oh, send the power. You don't even need all the power. Good night, everybody. Drive safely. And he said, oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you as you have willed. Whoa, wait a minute. So as she willed, he said, be it unto you as you willed. Wow. Okay, give me scripture and verse for that. John 15:7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you. So here's two stories. The woman in Luke 13, she's got all kinds of rights and privileges, not acting on it. Here, woman in 15 has no rights or privileges, and she's bypassing it with her boldness. So what would be something if we found out what our rights and our privileges are and then being so radical about it? Whoo, man. Look at Matthew 8. I want you to see this one, then we'll see what we're going to do here. Matthew 8. This is a story you know so well, but it'll bless you. Look at verse 5 of Matthew 8. It's page 11, if you've got a Bible like mine. This is at the beginning. Matthew 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick with the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus goes, I'll come heal him. The centurion goes, no, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Wow. He says, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled. Man, you want to look at stories where Jesus was like, whoa, this is amazing. He marveled and said unto them, I say unto you, I've not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. In other words, I'm looking for this kind of faith, and I had to go outside the family to find it. So the Syrophoenician woman and the centurion had the kind of faith that the Lord goes, wow. He marveled. And he said, it just freaks him out. He said, I say in verse 11, many will come from the east and the west, and they'll sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom, they'll be cast into outer darkness. And they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. And he said in verse 13, Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way. As you believe, so be it done unto you. So that thought pattern, that I understand authority, you have such a dominion in you that whatever you say will happen. Like, I don't even have to go under your roof. You just speak the word only. And there was a time where Jesus said, if I cast out devils with the finger of God. Yeah. In other words, I don't even have to cast them out. I can point at them. Think about that. I need to go like that. How'd you like to come into a healing service and the guys go like that and people are getting healed all over the place? See, that's how powerful he is. Yeah. It's not about the transition of how we do it. It's about knowing who he is. And here this centurion, he understood it. He goes, I'm a man under authority. So the ones that are under me, they know they do whatever I say. Yeah. He basically said, if there's cancer, if there's disease, it will do whatever I say.
Come on.
I have dominion over this.
Come on.
So when it came to John Lake, we talked about that the other day. When John Lake would be in South Africa, the plague's killing everybody. And they go, how's your staff living through this? He goes, well, I'll show you. Remember he said, I'll put my finger on the microscope. It'll kill the disease. They put the microscope right there. He touched the edge of the slide, and the cells died. And how did he get there? That didn't happen by chance. He'd go in front of the mirror every day and say, God lives in this man. God lives in this man. God lives in this man. So with that, for healing in our bodies, we take all the old covenant thought pattern, how when they were led out of Egypt and all the types of Calvary, they got physically healed. They got forgiven. And they got delivered. And then you carry that over into the New Testament, it gives you a dominion mentality.
Yes.
When the centurion can have a thought pattern that, hey, I got people under me, they'll do exactly what I say. You've got creation under you.
Yes.
It will do whatever you says. Mm. I mean, there's so many ways you could go, but I remember being a kid, and I was allergic to everything but water, sugar, and oatmeal until I was 4. I was allergic to everything but water, sugar, and oatmeal. And then I got to where I had asthma. Had to have a shot of adrenaline every single night called ACTH. Then you have on your refrigerator, you got condiments in here, maybe mustard, ketchup, whatever. Well, I had ACTH. Every single night I'd stop breathing and my mom or my dad would give me a shot of adrenaline. So I told my dad, Brother Hagin was going to come in 1970 to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I said, Dad, and my dad was a rank sinner, didn't believe in the Bible, hated preachers. Hilarious how he just was determined to not like the Lord. So I had this ACTH, had this asthma every single night. And I told Dad, I'm going to go down to Kenneth Hagin's in Baton Rouge. I said, he's going to pray for me. I'll never have another shot ever again of adrenaline. And he looked at me like, you're crazy. Well, I went down to Baton Rouge, went down, had hands laid on me by Brother Hagin, and I came back. Didn't have to have a shot of adrenaline that night. Didn't have to have a shot of adrenaline the next night. Didn't have to have a shot of adrenaline the next night. I said, Dad, I told you I was going to go down there and get healed. Never had another shot of adrenaline ever again. And so I said, well, Dad, does that just wear off or get better? No! One day I'm having adrenaline. The next day I'm having no adrenaline.
Come on now.
My lungs are healed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So as there's several different things we can do as believers. We can have a point of contact where we lay hands on you. Yeah. Or we can have a point of thinking of who we are, and we have a dominion. And I want it to be a little bit of everything. So my thinking is after the resurrection, the believer gets such a dominion thought pattern that it's ridiculous to have any symptoms. Now, for instance, hang with me, and I'm going to this one last verse. I'm seeing if I'm going to go to this verse or not. Let me hang with me. I can't believe I'm going to tell you this story. I'll tell you, though. It's fun. It's fun. I was in Corbin, Kentucky, where the headquarters of Kentucky Fried Chicken started. And you think of something being started or launched in a small town that can go all over the world. I preached in Singapore, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Preached in London, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Wherever. Bangkok, Kentucky Fried Chicken. So I was preaching there, and this is before COVID, this is probably about 10 years ago. These two nurses came in the service in yellow hazmat suits, hazmat helmet, hazmat suit. They brought a woman in that had some kind of flu, hazmat pants, like on TV, you see it. And this is before COVID. So I said, all right, have her come in here. I want her to take her mask off and take her helmet off, and I want her to breathe on me. And you know what? I'm not going to get sick, and she's going to get healed. Oh, no, we can't do that. It's too contagious. I said, no, I won't pray for her if you let me do it like this. So she stood in front of me, and I commanded the stuff to die from her. And the amazing thing is she got healed, but after that I've been smoking cigarettes the whole time. I'm sorry. But there should be a mentality that you can, I said, breathe on me. And man, it freaked those nurses out. I said, breathe on me. I ain't going to get sick. And she's going to get healed. I got something in me that's far greater than anything. Woo. Let me give you this one verse. Well, one verse. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You all know, we all know this stuff. We just need to be reminded all about Jesus. All about Jesus. And look at did I say 2 Corinthians 3? I'm trying to get there. Okay, look at, and you know this so well, but this is where I want us to go from trying to get healed to knowing you are healed to all of a sudden walking in a dominion to where this is just part of our life. Yeah. And you'd say that about going to heaven, too. I mean, like if you say, I'm excited, I'm going up in the rapture. How do I know that? How do I know I'm going up in the rapture? Because the Bible says I am.
Yeah.
Do I have any other evidence other than the Bible? No, I have no evidence that I'm going up in the rapture other than the Bible telling me that. And you know what? I believe it so much to the point that I'll scream it from the housetops, from coast to coast. So look at 2 Corinthians 3, a story that you know so well. It's so good. Okay, I don't know where I want to start. Look at verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Boy, you could preach that a couple of thousand years. To think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiencies of God. Who's also made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now watch this. If the adding of death written and graven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with, how shall not the adding or the ministering of the Spirit be the same glorious? If the adding of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Now get ready. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelled. He called Moses radiating nothing. That's no glory in relation to what you have in Christ. Have you ever been to a service? He said, everybody put their glasses on. Everybody's going to start glowing and it's going to hurt your eyes. You've ever been to a 3D movie where they give you the glasses in a bucket before you walk in? Wouldn't it be weird to have sunglasses in the back of the church going, now everybody, Pastor Chris is going to start preaching, and all of a sudden that glory is going to start radiating, and you don't want your rods and your cones to get messed up because it's so bright. He said, now Moses would go in and talk to God. He'd come out radiating. It would so freak them out, they put a lampshade over him. They put a blanket over him. Have you ever talked to somebody and go, I'll be back in a minute, I'm going to go talk to the Lord, and they come back and they're so radiating, you're like, oh my God, what a blanket on. It indicated he would take the blanket off and go in and talk to the Lord and come back and put the blanket on. And that was no glory in relation to what you have in Christ. So you're radiating this morning. There's a radiation in you that's glory, power, majesty, the kingdom of God.
Yes.
So we go from finding out people getting healed under the law, finding out people getting healed while Jesus was on the earth through the Gospels, to all of a sudden going into another thought pattern of the glory of God, this treasure you have in earthen vessels. Watch what he says right here in verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. The word plainness there is the word boldness. So we go from, man, I wish I could get healed, to going, I see a type of Calvary and I am healed. And then you go to find out you're in the family, it's your family rights. Okay, I'll take that. And then you find out that people not even in the family could access it through their attitude.
Right.
I mean, the Syrophoenician woman, hey, I don't even need a whole piece of bread. I'll take a fragment of what you got. That's radical.
Yeah.
And the centurion is, hey, I'm a man under authority. I just say the word and they'll do whatever I say. He basically was saying Jesus has so much authority over creation, whatever he says goes. What has he said about you? What has he said about you? You're redeemed from the curse of the law. The pathway of the righteous goes brighter and brighter. You delight yourself in the Lord, and he causes you to ride on the high places of the earth. You delight yourself in the Lord, and he gives you the desires of your heart. So you start putting that word out there, and it intensifies who you really are.
Yeah.
Then you go from one needing healing all the time to all of a sudden you're a tributary to where it's flowing through you.
Yeah.
That's what the Lord wants, where you'd be so healed that you just people getting near you getting healed.
Yeah.
Brother Hagin did that in authority and had that. Remember that pastor had full-blown sugar diabetes, and he'd been adjusting his insulin level manually. Full-blown sugar diabetes. And Brother Hagin said, while you're near me, you won't register any sugar. He goes, what? I mean, think about that. While you're near me, you won't register any sugar. In other words, when you get close to me, your pancreas will come alive. An organ in your body will come alive just getting near me.
Come on now.
Well, the first night, he preached, and they went and had food afterwards. He ate cakes and pies. He wasn't supposed to eat cakes and pies because he was, a diabetic. And he woke up and goes, he checks his sugar level's perfect. He goes, it beats anything I've ever seen. He goes, man, I wish I could do that. Brother Hagin said, it doesn't come by wishing. It comes by believing.
Amen.
There was a residue of 2 weeks after that guy got back to his house. Still didn't have to adjust his sugar. There was a 2-week residue of Kenneth Hagin's thought pattern to go, while you're near me, operating in authority, you're near me, your pancreas is going to function. An organ in another guy's body started working because Brother Hagin developed his authority. And Brother Hagin called that the edge of authority.
Amen.
Wow. Now why is that a big deal? That's a platform for what God's paid for you to walk in. That platform makes you radical.
Yeah.
It makes you,
Yeah. Come on.
And the Lord, the reason why I say this, he loves you so much, he wants you to enjoy everything.
Yes,
he wants to enjoy your freedom you have. So don't be bound in any area. I know people, full-grown people, that won't sleep without the light on. They're afraid of the dark. I didn't mean to call you out like that, Pastor, but I know. I believe we can pray right now. You won't be No, but I mean, the devil will try to do anything he can to have any way to mess with you. He's just an absolute liar.
He is.
You know, the thoughts that come to you, the devil is not going to tell you, man, you're doing such a great job. You're just, woo. No, he's going to tell you, aren't you? He's just a liar.
He's a liar.
We're soon going to see him thrown into the pit. It's going to be wonderful.
Yes, it is.
Wonderful, wonderful that day will be when he's sealed in there. Until I can walk over and a little combination, I'm going to open up. Hey, pit dweller, how you doing? I don't know if the Lord will want me to do that, but I think I'm going to beg the Lord to let me do that. Play a little song on my violin. And I don't know how to play the violin, so it's going to be... Aren't we blessed that Jesus paid for it?
Yes.
He paid for it. He paid for it. Let's thank Him for a minute for what He paid for. Lord, we're so grateful. So grateful that Jesus, You purchased this for us. You bought us. You redeemed us. That word redemption. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. We could never thank You enough. Lord, we thank You that every person in this room has a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of You. The eyes of their understanding, they are enlightened. They do know what the hope of their calling is. So, Lord, the riches of the inheritance and the saints, the exceeding greatness of Your power that's usward, who believe. So we believe this morning, Lord. That power is usward. So we thank You for wholeness for every person in this room. Disease be gone from them. Arthritis be gone from them.
Yes.
Dominion mentality. Walking with God. Taking God's Word. Activating it in their bodies. We thank You for it, Lord. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Now, I'll do this just for the sake of getting everything on healing class. I love that you do this, Pastor Debbie. It's so cool that you can have a class just based on physical healing. But if you want hands laid on you for physical healing... Yeah. Come on down. We'll lay hands on you. I may go slow. I may go fast. We'll see. But we'll impart the power of God. And oftentimes you can feel that tense too. I just start talking about it. I can feel it going in my legs. Because He wants to heal you. So let's take Him at His word. Let's take Him at His word. That just means when hands are laid on, that's your point of contact. Go, I take it right now. You don't have to go, is it really happening right now? Oh, yeah. So just if you want it, just come on down. You don't have to. But if you want it, we'll see. Hey, how are you? Glad you came this morning. How cool is that to come hear the word? Good to see you guys. How's your neck and your back doing? Good? Good, good, good. Wonderful, wonderful. What happened to you?
I got run over by a school bus.
You got run over by a school bus? Oh, dear Lord.
And I am a miracle that I'm alive.
Yeah, amen.
I have video proof.
Wow.
A miracle to be alive and a miracle that I got my arm.
Wow.
I just want complete healing.
Yeah.